Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, if you were here on Sunday, Rachel got up on Sunday morning and she talked about words. And it's just been a topic that we've had lately. And I kept thinking about it. I don't know, Rachel, I don't even know what I talked about Sunday, but I know what Rachel's talked about. It just really spoke to me, and I had that on my heart because really a lot of what has been hitting me in the face in our culture is that we right now have to work on our hope. We have to work on an excitement for getting up and facing a day. I just think that I'm not the only one, because you can turn on any news source, you can turn on any social media source, and I can tell you real quick, it can whip you. It can frustrate you. I heard a statement years ago that really changed the way I thought and the way I operated. And here was the statement. It says, your actions follow your expectations. Your actions follow your expectations. So I asked tonight, what is your level of expectation? Or what is your hope? What is your hope? The word expectation and the word hope, they go right together. In fact, hope can be defined in the word as confident expectation. So I'm confident that I have a promise, or that I have something that God has said, and my hope is in that. Even though I haven't seen it in the natural yet, I'm going to believe that it's coming. So I asked tonight, what is your hope? Well, one of the things that hit me when I was thinking about this is your expectations really form your words. You know, whatever you're expecting is what you talk about. Romans 12, verse 12 says, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble, keep on praying. So be patient in trouble, keep on praying, and rejoice in your hope. Well, Paul is talking right here about expectation. Are you rejoicing in what you expect? Are you rejoicing in what you expect? Well, I just don't know. I'm expecting this doctor's report to turn out bad. Well, if that's what your expectation is, then you don't have any reason to rejoice. And so we've got to raise our expectations to a level that gives us reason to rejoice. Am I speaking to you? See, we raise our expectation and all of a sudden we can rejoice in our confident hope. We're reading Romans 8, verse 19. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who His children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And we believers also groan. This is a comforting verse. We believers also groan. Because, come on, some of us believers groan every once in a while. I mean, we just do. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as His adopted children, including the new bodies that He's promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. So we've got some hope in things that we don't have yet. Verse 25, but if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. All creation, that's you and I, are waiting and expecting for a day. Are you hoping for a day? I'm hoping for a day. I'm just telling you right now, when you look at our world, there's not a lot of people hoping for a day. All we hear is how tomorrow's going to be worse than today was. Well, as Christians, we've got to get to a place that's not how we expect. That's not how we hope. That's not what our hope is. Our emotions sometimes are so governed by our limited understanding, it's sad. We just have a limited understanding. And so what we expect can oftentimes be seen by what we say. And let me say it like this. What we expect also oftentimes comes out of our mouth. What we're hoping for comes out of our mouth. Or what we're not hoping for comes out of our mouth. We've got to raise our hope. We've got to raise our expectation. You set your expectations based on what you're saying. Sometimes your words are based on your expectations, and sometimes your words are forming your expectations. Now, you can just write that one down because that's a really big statement. As I was wanting to explain this, God just said, sometimes words explain your expectations and sometimes words form your expectations. Now, here's what I mean. There are times that we're saying something that we're trying to get ourselves to believe. So what do you mean, Pastor? Well, I'm believing that things are going to turn out good. Are you? The Bible says, I mean, there's a couple places where they were talking to the Lord and said, you know, help my belief, help my unbelief. Yeah. Because there are times that our unbelief is trying to take over, but by what comes out of our mouth, we'll raise our expectation.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to get into this more. But either way, what I'm getting at is you got to watch your words. You got to watch your words. What are you saying? Hopefully what you're saying about yourself lines up with what God says about you. Let me take that a step further. What you're saying about someone else or what's going on in our world needs to line up with what God says about it. Because oftentimes we live by a phrase that we learned as children. And we try to act like words don't matter because everybody knows that sticks and stones may break my bones, but lie. It's a lie. Well, I understand what they're trying to do by that. They're trying to get people to say, well, wait, words don't affect anything. But that's a complete lie from the enemy. Words affect a lot. How many times we have been in situations where it wouldn't do me any good to, and so then you don't. I've listened for years. It wouldn't do me any good to vote, so we don't. Now what's the enemy doing? Well, you can't trust the voting system, so what's that going to do? What are people going to do? Well, I don't trust it, so I'm not going to vote. We better get some hope back into what's going on in our lives so that we'll operate correctly. I know that there are a lot of people here that can remember things that people said to you in the third grade that still bother you today. They still are getting you. See, God gave us an ability to communicate. You know how he does it? He does it through words. Let me just break off a little bit. This is nowhere in my notes. But do you know when your first memory was? When is my first memory? Usually it's around 2 to 3 that you can form some memories. Not a complete memory of everything, but you start remembering it about 2 or 3. Why is that the case? Someone will come up and say, well, that's not true. All right, well, you're the exception. I'm not talking about you. Most people around 2 or 3 start, you know why that's when they start remembering? Because that's when they start forming words. Do you realize that we think in words? Right now, you may be looking at me and you go, man, that guy's good looking. You had to think those words. See, that came out as a thought. Some of you might go, you laugh because you go, your thought was, no, he's really not. But you had to think all those words for you to form the thought. The thought came in words. And so I don't think we give enough credibility to what words do in our mind. Words that go through, we think in words. Scripture says a lot about words and how we use them for either good or for negative consequences. Proverbs 6:2, I'll go through some scripture real quick. You're snared by the words of your mouth, or you're taken by the words of your mouth. Why? I never thought about this, but you know, words take you places. I never hear anyone say, go ahead, punk. Make. Does that not take you somewhere? See, there are words that some of you are like, I don't know what he's talking about. But those of you that do, there are just some words that take you places. And you're taken places by the words of your mouth. You can take other people places by the words of your mouth. Proverbs 12:13 says, an evil man is trapped by his sinful talk, but a righteous man escapes trouble. Proverbs 12:18, the tongue of the wise brings healing. Do you know that your words can bring healing? What people say can make the difference between success and failure, good and bad consequences. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can't be in this church for a year and not have heard that 100 times. Well, I wanted to share something tonight when we're talking about words, and I'm going to get more and more into words, and then I'm going to get into some expectations, and both of them can be explained, and it could be a sermon in and of themselves, but know this, they go together. Yeah. Words and expectations and words go together. So I was having... Years ago, I had an opportunity to hear some very wise teachers of the Old Testament. And I have heard them speak. They were Jewish rabbi. And I've heard them speak on the importance of the Hebrew words, God's language, and how profound it is and how much it means. I mean, just the word Deuteronomy. Does anybody know what Deuteronomy means in Hebrew? It means word or words. Now, as you look at that, because here's what's really cool. In the Hebrew language, there's a lot of words that mean two different things. But they never mean two different things apart from each other. They always mean two different things that coincide with each other. Very, very interesting. The book of Deuteronomy means words, and it also means be. B-E-E. What in the world? How can that go together? Words and be, how can they make sense? I mean, they're both translated letter for letter as be. In God's language, things connect, and they're not accidentally. See, bees can inflict a sweetness to your life, or it can inflict pain in your life. The Word of God, and this is really cool, young Jewish children traditionally were always given a taste of honey when they would study the word. Well, the reason they were given this is because the people that were giving this to the children, he needs some honey right now. They give him this taste of honey because they wanted to know that the word of God is sweet. And so they wanted, every time the word that was read to them, they wanted to see that it brought goodness to their life. It brought great things to their life. Now, I just think that's kind of cool because bees can produce some real sweet things. Well, so can the word of God. Yeah. But you know, when you're not following the word of God and you're not doing the right thing with the bees, what do they inflict? Some pain. When you're not operating according to the word, pain becomes how you receive it. And I don't want to receive the word in pain. I want to receive it in sweetness. I want it to be impactful for me. And so I read this verse in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, but it goes on to say, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, I just think that's cool because those who are enjoying the words of life will produce a sweetness for them. And they can eat of the fruit. Are the words coming out of your mouth so lined up with the word of God that it's producing sweetness not only in your life but in others? Or are the words coming out of your life not lined up with the word, and the next thing you know, they don't produce for you? Productive words bear a good fruitful harvest. And so from the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled with the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. This kind of makes sense. I mean, as you study it and you hear it, you're like, wow, that's pretty cool. Well, let me give you something else about words. And this is just so cool. I remember the first time I ever heard it talked about, I was like, that makes perfect sense to me. Genesis chapter 1. It's a real easy place to go to in Scripture because you can find it in a matter of seconds. Genesis chapter 1 is really a cool Scripture because God did an amazing thing that we oftentimes miss. But in chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Then God said, out of his mouth, let there be light, and there was light." Verse 6, I mean, you just jump all the way down through chapter 1. God said, verse 9, "Then God said," verse 11, "Then God said." You just keep seeing this. Verse 14, "Then God said," verse 20, "Then God said," verse 24, "Then God said," verse 26, "Then God said." And then in verse 31, "Then God saw," or looked. What did he look at? What did God saw? He saw everything he said. And what he said created. And that was just the first time that was revealed to me. I thought, man, God's word creates. It creates life. It creates what we now live in. His word creates. If we can get his word so in us, it will do things in your life that you never dreamed it could. He said it, and then he saw it. He said it, and he saw it. Jesus taught the disciples about the power of words. They were walking along the road, and you remember when he cursed the fig tree? He told them, have faith in God. In Mark 11, verse 22, "Have faith in God. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it'll be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it and it'll be yours." There is something about saying it and believing it, saying it and believing it, that things happen. Whoever says to this mountain, well, you can hope in something, but until your expectation starts coming out of your mouth, I'm needing this mountain to move. Okay, this mountain is moving and going to be cast into the sea. It's. I don't know when, but I'm telling you, I'm believing it could be right now. See, I've got to operate in having some things come out of my mouth instead of just being stuck in my brain. Whoever says to this mountain. So well, Pastor, if that works, then I'm going to say I'm going to be a millionaire. That'll work. Well, it might. It might take some time. But if you keep saying that, then it'll at some point make you look for jobs that will put you in a... Yeah. See, what you start saying come out of your mouth got to line up with what you're doing. If a kid says, well, I'm going to be a doctor one day, and I've heard him say it, I've got two of them that I can tell you right off the top of my head that I heard them say it when they were in sixth, seventh grade, and they're doctors now. They never quit saying it. And when they said it, you know what the parents would say in sixth or seventh grade? You're going to be a doctor, you better start studying. You better start getting your life to line up with what you're saying. If you start saying that you're healed, you better start walking in an attitude of healing. You better start putting things into your system that will produce what... See, that if you'll start saying the right things, then it's going to go along with what you're doing. Your expectation will get there, and you can be a doctor. Some parents... It amazes me how they start telling their kids everything they can't be. Well, you couldn't do that. You don't have enough money. This family doesn't do things like that. What I'm telling you is, don't stifle an excitement of words that's giving someone an anticipation for hope in their life. Saying things is action-oriented. You don't say, well, I'm 20 pounds when you're 200, none of your business. See, that doesn't make sense. You're not, I'm not talking about this idea that we can get whatever we want just by the words of our mouth, but you'll never get what you want if you don't get the words of your mouth headed there. Oftentimes we say something and we create death because we're not willing to put the action to what we say. What do you mean by that? When you say something and then you don't do it, and you say something and it doesn't come about, and you say something, before long, your words are death to people that hear them. There's no honey there. There's no sweetness there. So I want you to be careful that what comes out of your mouth, you can back up with the Word of God. Now, when I walk in and say, man, supper smells great, I understand how words create. See, that creates something in my home. Man, supper, whoo, what is that smell? Even sounds create. See, I can create by what comes out of my mouth. And when I say that, I know what it does. Well, that's not lined up with the word. You bet it is. A soft answer, a sweet answer, does a lot of things. I can go right to Proverbs and tell you the wisdom in it. And even if my wife had a bad day and I walk in and say, ooh, it smells good in here, all of a sudden, life was kind of built a little better. But when I walk in and I say, I don't smell nothing in here, what have you done all day? Don't you think for a second that words don't create? I created everything I'm going to experience the rest of that evening. Just like that. See, what are you doing in your marriage with your words? What are you doing at your work? I've created by my words a million times, and you can see that and understand it. How's church? I get in the habit of when I'm gone of calling people. I do. I want to know what Chapman did. I want to know. You know, about every time I call somebody, here's what I hear. Man, it was great. And then I listen to it, and I'm like, they were right. It was great. It was great. I couldn't have been more thrilled. Well, it creates something, an attitude in me that I can't wait to get back when everybody's telling me how great it was. Was there anything that went wrong? Probably. Maybe not with him, but something happened. I'm telling you, something happened Sunday. Now, in your mind, you're trying to go, what was it? I don't know. Nobody told me. Because everybody was real careful that we're going to say the right words to produce the right thinking. Yeah. Well, I love that about our staff. We create the right words, so we're going to build each other up. We're going to help each other out. I say this all the time, and now I'm hearing them say it, and I wasn't the originator of it, but don't you dare come with me with a problem without offering a solution. See, let's get caught up on the solution. And as we speak, we can produce honey and something that you, oh, well, I'm great. I'm almost glad we had the problem. I'm still looking forward to the solution. So, how's church? Well, it's terrible. I mean, there wasn't very many people there, and you know what? In 20 years, that message is going to change somebody's life. How are you responding to how church was? Boy, that worship, I don't know. There was one clunker. I don't know who it was on that worship team, but they hit it. That 1 second out of 4 or 5 different worship songs that were anointed and powerful, and you got caught up on one note that you happened to hear, I'm telling you, there's more than one every service. So there, just get that out of the way. But there's thousands that were right. What's coming out of your mouth? Matthew 12:37. It says, for by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. We've got to work on retraining our talk, even our self-talk, to speak words that bring good fruit and good harvest. Your business, you're going to build a business. Well, I'm just telling you, you won't build a business if all you do is tear it down verbally. If all you do is say, well, this business is never going to work. This business, all it does is pull me away from my family. All this business does, it won't be very long and you won't have a business anymore. Yeah, See, your words will start putting an expectation into your life. They're creating, your words are creating the life you're living. They're creating right now, whether you have peace in your home or frustration. Words do so much that I don't think we ever even think about. Because of what you're saying, it tells your expectation. Matthew 12, verse 36. I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I can't tell you how many funerals that I have done since I started pastoring a church. But not many in this church. It's other churches that call me to do their funeral. I was doing a funeral on Monday of a great aunt that passed. And here's the thing. I never, ever seem to get, now this is some words that would come out of my mouth, so I'm just telling you the way I'd say it. I never seem to get the obituary right. I ask everybody. There was a name, and I'm believing that this gentleman's going to come, but there was a name in the survivor list that was hard for me. It was Glendinning. I would ask you to say it with me, but you'd mess it up. Glendinning. Now, you think that's easy, write it out. There's a bunch of D's and N's in there. And I'm like, I said this. I'm going to mess this up. That's what I said. And I was like, I'm going to mess this up. And then Rachel's sermon entrance on, I just all of a sudden, you're shooting yourself right now with your words. And so here's what I said. I'm not going to mess one of these up. I'm going to get every word of this, and it's going to be the first time, but it's going to be the last. It's going to be the first, and then from then on, my reading of the obituary, I'm telling you, is going to be right. In fact, everybody's going to go, wow, I can't believe he got, well, that's pretty prideful. I'm just telling you, I was bulleting myself every time I got to obituary. You know what happened on Monday when I read that? I got every word right. I thought it through. When it was getting ready to come out of my mouth, it hit my tongue ahead of time, and I nailed it. I nailed every one of them. I got up, and I've got people that are scholar that was in there, and I'm like, they're going to think I'm a dumb hick hillbilly from nowhere. They're going to think I'm educated. I am, and the words that are going to come out of my mouth are going to be right, and it's going to be edifying, and people are going to be, they're going to be brought comfort because the Word of God is going to come clear into there. And I just, what I'm telling you is, what was coming out of my mouth was hurting me. How many here have that same problem in your life? You can hear me talk all night about this, but I'm saying to you, every word that you speak, there's idle words. There's words that don't go anywhere. When a vehicle's in idle, it's running, but it's not going anywhere. You have words that aren't going anywhere. Let's get our words moving. Let's get them moving in a place that makes a difference in our life. Let's look at words and let's let them produce for our life. Man, I got so much more. I'll get to the rest of it next week. Y'all stand with me.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.